We'd like now to go to Kamil Siddiqui with the News International. He has been kind enough to keep us up to date. He's been doing some reporting on the situation. And Kamal, is it any clearer about whether it was actually the suicide bombing itself that took Benazir Bhutto's life or whether it was an assassin's bullet?
Well, both reports are coming in, and it's not clear whether it was actually because the initial report suggested that she died of bullet wounds, and this is something that her husband also said. But the Interior Ministry is insisting that it was not bullet wounds, but the bomb blast that took place at the exit of the park as she was leaving the park that took her life.
Let's put this in perspective for people who haven't maybe been following the story as closely as they were perhaps last October. Benazir Bhutto returned to Pakistan after 8 years in exile. Describe what the reaction was when she initially returned to Pakistan and what kind of danger she put herself in coming back and why.
Well, people were very happy to see her back after so many years, because with her came the hope of democracy and also the hope that once again Pakistanis will be known for their moderate Islam, and the fact that Benazir Bhutto was a democratic leader, Pakistan's first elected woman prime minister, and also a person that a lot of young people were identifying with as well. So her return to Pakistan was an occasion for a lot of people to cheer after a long time, because there have been incidents of violence and suicide attacks prior to her arrival in Pakistan. So people were very happy that once again things were getting better in Pakistan. So this was the kind of expectations people had, that things would get better in the country once she came back.
When she returned to the country, she very much took on President Musharraf, wanted to make sure that he took off his military uniform, that he was no longer the general as well after he had declared martial law in the country. Had they been working at all in concert in the past few months since she returned? Had they reached some sort of working arrangement?
There was some understanding between the two, and Benazir was quite a skilled politician, a skilled negotiator, someone who one could not take for granted. She was very much aware of what was at stake and how Musharraf was playing his cards, and she played her cards reasonably well, because she got Musharraf to retire from the army and take on his job as a civilian president. But talks broke off after Musharraf declared emergency in the country. And that is when any talk of a deal between the two was stopped. But there were still expectations that once the elections were held and Benazir came back with some majority in parliament, that the president would have to deal with her in order for her to form a coalition government of some kind.
We're speaking with Kamal Siddiqui regarding the assassination of Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto. We should point out, though, Bhutto did have her detractors. There were some people who thought that she could be quite brutal.
There have been, like any politician in Pakistan, there are all detractors, and there were people who were against her, and there were people who were critical of her terms as prime minister. But what was interesting was that a lot of people were speculating that if free and fair elections were held, there's a very good chance that Benazir Bhutto's party, if not her, would resume power, come back to power, such as the popularity of her party in the country.
If we had to look at possible groups that might take responsibility for this attack against Benazir Bhutto, who are some of the players that might be considered?
The interesting thing is that after the October attack, Benazir Bhutto held a press conference in Karachi, where she said that if there was an attempt on my life or if I am killed, the government should not look at the militants and should not look at religious extremists, but should look at people from within President Musharraf's government. But at the same time, she clarified that it was not President Musharraf who would be responsible, but there were some elements within his government that were against her, and these were the elements who were trying to harm her. And she also said in the press conference that she had given a letter to President Musharraf in which she had identified the people who would if an eventuality like this took place, who she would hold responsible.
As I'm talking to you, I'm looking at my television here and I'm looking at CNN, and they have some pictures on tape from outside of the rally where there's quite a bit of violence going on outside the hospital, where people are chanting and clearly in a state, a disruptive state. What do you anticipate will happen in the next week or so?
Well, what I anticipate is that there will be violence. People are in a state of shock. In Karachi already, petrol pumps are being burned as people have come out on the streets to vent their anger and frustration at what has happened. So we will see violence initially, but hopefully that will calm down, because at this point it is evident that it is not the government that was behind this attack. And it is not the government that the people are targeting, but they're just trying to vent their anger, frustration, and shock at what has happened.
And Kamal, before I let you go, can you summarize for us what you believe will be Benazir Bhutto's legacy?
I think Benazir Bhutto's legacy would be the hope of the Pakistanis in a democratic state, the hope that Pakistanis can live as moderate Muslims in a free and fair democratic state. This is what all of us as Pakistanis had hoped when she came to Pakistan and when she became the first prime minister. And when she returned this time round this year, we were all hoping that once again Pakistan would be free, fair, and democratic.
Kamal Siddiqui with the News International. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Bryant Park Project with NPR News.
Thank you very much.